We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we're recording, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
This always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Everybody would tell you, my friend did such and such. My friend did, coffee and enema. My other friend did ayahuasca. My third friend did energetic healing. So over 5 years of going over 59 years, we've tried everything. We've been on every diet, on a lack of diet. We've been fasting. We've been doing the ayahuascas. We've been doing, we've been to Poland to some bioenergetic healer that we had to drive for 6 hours one way to see him. Wow. For a session. We did not leave any stone unturned. Again, me and Kasia were very goal-focused, orientated. So if there's something that we can do, why wouldn't we do it?
Today, I chat with Matchik, the owner of Revive Australia, who is also my massage therapist. With over 2 decades of experience working on people's bodies, Matchik brings a wealth of knowledge to his practice. He's worked with everyone from elite athletes to calm yogis, stressed office workers, and fitness champions like Lauren Simpson. Every session with Matchik, I walk out having learned so much about my health and my body, but I could also tell he had a pretty interesting life story to share. We discuss how an act of kindness, being lent money from a friend to buy a massage bed and a phone, kickstarted his career. Matchik shares his insights to building a healthy, long-lasting relationship, one that will withstand any challenge and be fortified during times of grief or loss. We also touch on his and Kasia's 5-year-long, 15-round journey of IVF. Something that I mentioned later in the episode is that I always felt a little bit stuck in my own healing journey. I've shared more about this in the first ever episode I actually did on Life Chats, which you can go back and listen to with my therapist. But a big puzzle piece I had been missing in my journey over the last 5 years, I believe, was the somatic healing, the body healing. I've done so much therapy and work with the mind, but I'd done barely any work with the body. So Matchik has come along at just the right time and instilled this sense of empowerment in me. It just goes to show, I think, that having a guide who can educate you as you take control of your own healing journey, it really is life-changing work. So let's get into the chat. On this podcast, we discuss the learnings of life with extraordinary and everyday people, because every human being has a story and every human being knows what it means to be alive. I'm Georgia May and this is Life Chats. Welcome to Life Chats.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you for the invite and I'm excited to be here.
This is your first podcast, I take it?
It is, yes.
Yes, which I find interesting because you have so much to share. You obviously come into contact with so many different people on a daily basis. And I feel like you would just have so many different experiences. Your worldview would be shaped by all the different people you're interacting with every single day. So for people who don't know who you are, you're my massage therapist and you're the owner of Revive. Tell us about your mission.
So my name is Matchik. I come from Poland. I've been in Australia for 23 years now. And for 12 of these, I call myself a proud Australian.
Yeah.
Together with my wife, Kasia, we own Revive Australia, which is a sports remedial massage studio in Waterloo, New South Wales. And we just love looking after people, helping people through education and really with our hands.
Yes. Have you always been like that? Would you have looked back at yourself as a child and thought, I was always a helper, or have you gained that skill throughout your life?
I think I gained that, a lot of that skill through the sports academy.
Yeah.
I graduated Academy of Physical Education in mm-hmm. Warsaw, Poland, and that's when they taught us to look at things, look at people, notice imbalances and mm-hmm. notice lacks and help them to improve.
Where did that passion come from? Like passion of working with the body and learning about the body. Were you into health and fitness yourself and then you decided to study it, or where did that start for you?
Well, I was just a hyperactive kid.
Yeah.
So my parents would sign me up. I grew up in a bad neighborhood.
Right.
You know, this is communist Poland, corrupt place. Back in the early days, it was a really bad place to grow up with. It was like just the blocks of units, like kind of, you know, what you call them, projects.
Yeah.
And at the time, there was not really much drugs, just alcoholism and things like that. And to keep me away from all of that, my parents put me into the swimming pool, into the gymnastics. They just kept me busy, kept my energy at low levels just by making me completely exhausted. Wow. So I did sports from very early age. And then naturally, I just went to the sports academy.
Yeah, which is where you met Kasia.
Yes, that's where
Tell us about that story.
Oh, so I went to the sports academy, and on the very first day on the inauguration of the sports academy, I did see her.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought she's very pretty.
Love of my life.
But we didn't get to talk for another probably 3 years or so.
Wow.
We were studying in different groups and different classes. Mm-hmm. So our classes and courses didn't mix and match. And I had a girlfriend at the time. She had a partner at the time. Then we were both single. But again, I grew up in Warsaw, Poland, which later on became a democratic country with all the privatization. Mm-hmm. So my parents got to have a business. I got to be a player from Warsaw, big city boy. And Kasia was more of a small town girl. She was on the wrestling team. Her partner at the time was a wrestler. Mm-hmm. Her partner's father was a wrestling coach. She spent 6 to 8 hours every day wrestling.
Wow.
Apart from that, she had to work to support herself because she lives in the dorms, whereas I got to go home. My mom cooked the dinner. I threw her laundry in the laundry. So we were completely two different people. And because of that, also the social groups that we were mixing just didn't mesh with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started talking to her, I pretty much was 100% confident that I have no chance with her.
Why?
Because she would just hate me. She hate everything about, like,
why?
Just people that are not from Warsaw hate people from Warsaw.
Right.
And people from Warsaw tend to be stuck up. So there's two different cultures, and our cultures didn't mix. And I came across as a, party boy, all that sort of stuff, something that they just didn't like. So,
and what was she like? She was very studious.
She was very focused on training. She maintained the highest grades because she was also getting, I believe she's getting like a scholarship for that, as well as sports scholarship. So pretty much only studying and training wrestling. That was her life.
Wow.
So she never tried, she might have had a wine or two, but she never tried any drugs. She never really stepped her foot over the line.
Meanwhile, you're out here.
Yes, meanwhile. So I don't know if eventually the bad boy persona attracted her to me. But we started chatting and we became really good friends. And then one day I had a back injury. And I just couldn't move. I had a back injury. And she said, I'm a massage therapist for the wrestling team. Let me give you a massage. And I'm like, I'm in so much pain. Massage will not help. I need serious drugs. She's like, let me try. And she gave me a massage and it helped. And it was my first massage that I ever got. It was a massage from the person that I call my wife right now.
Yes, the rest is history.
So the rest is a history. That was my very first massage. It was from her and it helped. And obviously I thought, that's good.
It can work,
but at the time I didn't think it can work. At the time I was thinking it's a good way of getting girls out of the clothes.
Getting a girlfriend.
Especially her. I'm like, let me return the favor.
I'll have a back injury for a bit longer.
Yeah. So maybe you have some aches and pains.
Yeah. So what point do you feel like you start to get knowledge of the body? And you're someone who didn't believe in massages and now you're an educator on the body. Where did that shift for you? Was it a gradual thing or do you feel like you decided, okay, I'm going to use this to become a better version of myself?
I wish that was the story. I wish I had a really, plan for life. And I wish that, I knew from the early age what I'm going to do. But no, in my life, I very often just opened my heart, opened my mind and went with the flow. And when later on I decided with a group of my friends to come to Australia, this is after graduating sports academy 5 years. It was 3 years of bachelor, 2 years of master's. I got a master's degree in physical education. So I know biology, I know anatomy, I know physiology, I know history of sport, I know a lot of different subjects, theory of sport. I know a lot and I come to Australia, but I just came here for holidays and the holidays stretched and towards the end of holidays, somebody stole my last money. So now I'm being this kind of rich kid, just spending money here on holidays. And now I actually want to stay here, but there's no money.
Yeah.
And I'm 25, so it's really hard to call parents, say, send me some cash. So again, I just opened my heart and somebody was like, let me get you a job. And they got me a job as a cleaner. I was working for the Polish guy who was a graduate of the same academy that I have been.
Wow.
So after only a few weeks of me doing the worst job ever, he calls me up. He goes, "You graduated Sports Academy." Mm-hmm. I'm like, "Yes." He says, "I'm going to do you a favor." I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm going to fire you. You don't belong as a cleaner. What is it that you can do?" And, you know, just before I graduated Sports Academy, wow, and Kasia got a diploma in a massage. I'm like, "Well, I can massage." He goes, "Okay, so I'm going to fire you, but this is a mobile phone." He gave me a mobile phone, wow, and he lent me a couple of $100 for a massage table. So I got these two things in my hands and I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to be a massage therapist." And I didn't know any, like, I didn't know, wow, anybody. I didn't know anything. So his mate says to me, "Look, I know this guy. He's a chiropractor here in Bondi Junction. Why don't you go and ask him if he needs any help?" Mm-hmm. So I went there and I said, "Oh, you know, do you need any help?" And he says, "Not really." And then he says, "Oh, by the way, I'm actually running late. I already have my next client waiting where I'm going to spend half an hour with this client. So take him to the next room and just prepare him for me. Just massage him for me." I did that. And the guy walks out of the room and goes to the chiropractor. And then he says, "Can we do it every week?"
Wow.
So the chiropractor says to me, "Do you want to come back next week and do it?" "No problem." So he calls me, like, he goes, "Actually, he wants to bring his wife as well."
Sounds familiar.
So I just started falling into these, you know, like I said, I just had my, you know, my heart open. People speak of luck. You know, one of the things that I've learned about luck is it's somebody else's definition, but when the opportunity meets preparation. Mm-hmm. So I was given this opportunity, but I was also prepared to take them.
Yeah.
And every time there was opportunity and I was prepared to take it, I just took it. I grew very successfully with these massages. And you won't believe it, but after a couple of months, I'm calling my parents and they said, "What do you need?" I said, "I need all the tapes and all of my books with the Russian language."
Why?
Because most of the clients were Russian.
Wow.
And if only I could call it like somebody is 40, 50, 60 years old on the phone and say, "Привет, как дела?" Say, "Hello, how are you? Do you want to come for massage?" They loved it.
Wow.
And those who didn't speak really good English just felt like, "Oh, they can talk to me. Mm. They can relate. It's just easier."
Yeah.
So in the beginning, I had to learn, I've already learned English. Now I had to learn Russian, which, by the way, I had to learn Russian again because we, yeah, had Russian in the communist, mm-hmm, Poland for 7 years in school. Mm-hmm. But we all hated it so much, we never really learned anything. Mm-hmm. So my parents like, "Where are you, in Australia or Odessa?"
Or Russia.
I'm like, "Well, literally, it's like Odessa. Most of the Russians in Bondi Junction are like from Odessa."
Wow.
So that was...
What a journey. Sounds, yeah, like you're very entrepreneurial to just think, okay, how can I build this? Like, how can I work to build a network or like a client base with all that you had? And then I guess Kasia had moved over with you as well, or was she also on this holiday?
No. So I came here, we came separately because I didn't know we're going to get together. Mm. So with a group of my other friends, a year early, we already made a plan to move to go to Australia, not to move, but to go to Australia. Right. So I got my passport ready. I saved money for the, mm-hmm, ticket. I saved money for the school. I saved money to have with me when I'm here.
Yeah.
And then we're getting together and I'm like, "Oh, Kasia, by the way, like, I'm going to Australia for a couple of months." And
was she sad?
Well, yeah, she said some words that I shouldn't be saying on a podcast. And she said, "Look, that's just not cool. Like, we should just separate now." I'm like, "Look, it's in a few months." Mm. "So how about instead of separating now, we'll have the best few months ever."
Yeah.
Because we were already graduating, so there was not many classes, not much to do. Mm-hmm. We were like writing theses and just meeting once a week with our tutors or whatever. And so we just said, best couple of months. And I'm like, "And if we're supposed to meet, we'll meet." Mm-hmm. Okay. So we had a great time. We just went around Poland traveling, doing all sorts of different adventures. And then I left and I arrived here. And a few weeks later, I was like, "What have I done?
Oh, what have I done?"
So back in, you know, 2001, mm-hmm, you'd buy those scratchy cards.
Yeah.
And you scratch the code and you go down to the phone booth at, mm-hmm, 1 o'clock in the morning and you call the number and says, "You have 12 minutes left on this call." So I would call her and we talked and I'm like, "Nice. Look, like, I want to be with you." And she's like, "What are you going to do about it?" And I said, "Well, I'm not going to go to Belgium," because she was in Belgium.
Wow.
I said, "I live in Bondi. You're not going to believe this place. You got to come and check it out."
Mm.
And she's like, "Okay." So next few months, you know, she was saving money. I was saving money. I was, you know, I got around to get work, get my student visa, get an apartment. So when she came, we had all of that.
Wow.
And then, yeah, she came in. I picked her up from the airport and we never lived together. We were just, yeah, you know, a couple of people kind of dating. Mm-hmm. I lived at home. She lived in the dorms and I just picked her up. I took her home and I'm like, well, this is our kitchen.
This is our house.
This is our living room. This is our bedroom. This is where we live. And she's like, okay.
Wow.
And we just became an instant couple. So that was...
That's so interesting.
Yeah,
It's like Thomas and I, because we were just dating casually for months when I was in America and he was here. And then we applied for a unit that I'd never seen before. Like I said to him, it better be good because I'm moving into this place. Like, don't stuff it up. He's like, I think you'll like it. I think it's good. And then I moved back from LA. I flew in on a Monday and we moved in on a Thursday. And like, that was it. And then we were just together. So I feel like sometimes that's the best way to do things. You just
I also feel like it's a bit of an, I don't know, like I don't. Bit of an old school way of making things, but you just have to make it
make
work.
It work. Yeah.
Yeah, you make it work. We you know
had,
what I mean?
We had so many arguments in the first few weeks, I think purely just because we'd both adjusted so quickly overnight. It wasn't like I'll stay at your house for a few nights and you stay for a few nights. It was like we'd been completely apart and now we're completely together. And that's like a big adjustment to go through. But the alternative is that you don't decide to make it work and you separate, and that's not what we wanted. So, yeah, I feel like it's a pretty amazing way to build a relationship. And you're still together.
We're still together. 20 years
later. Wow. So you start Revive at what point in this journey?
Revive started only 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. So this is the point of the journey. We still live in Bondi. We live in Bondi Beach. I'm working in Bondi Junction. Kasia got to study tourism. Then she was working in a cafe. She has also different jobs. She ended up doing massage as well, of course. So now we're both working as massage therapists, but at the time, as something I mentioned to you before, you know, I go down to Bondi and I see these older guys and just sitting in the vans and they surf every day and they hang out on the beach. And I'm like, this is the best lifestyle ever. Like,
wow,
this is the ultimate goal. Just, you know, just being this cool dude. You know? So for the next couple of years, we work a little bit, but most of the times in the morning, we're running on the beach. I'm surfing, you know, Kasia's hanging out with girls or whatever, training and all that sort of stuff, like playing volleyball. We're working as little as possible. Like I said, on the weekends, we had a four-wheel drive. I was in a spearfishing club. I was in a four-wheel driving club. We spent as many weekends or as many days away camping as possible, just living week to week. And then I was on a student visa for a couple of years, and Kasia was the student dependent. Mm-hmm. And then she would go and study some fake diploma for three or four years. And I was dependent. And we went like that for over 10 years. And one day I woke up and I'm like, shit, I'm 35 and I'm here on a student visa that's about to run out, and my life is kind of good. But at the same time, I don't think like being the cool dude in the van on the beach is actually that glorious. So I had this like a moment of clarity and I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to do something about it. So I went to the migration agent who just looked at my papers and he goes, how the hell are you here on student visa for like
10 years.
Over 10 years at the time, you know. And I'm like, yeah, well, he goes, okay, well, he goes, I had all these tough cases, but yours is the biggest challenge I had so far. If I can do your visa, I can probably do anything. So we went through a few different situations and I just missed applying for some visa by a few months because I just missed the opportunity with my diploma. You have to apply within a couple of months of graduating diploma. I missed that. So then I had to do the exams for an international interpreter and translator. So I did all of that. Just before I got my results, they took it off the list of the jobs that being sponsored. So again, back to VTech, they are very famous in Polish community migration agent. Back to VTech, what are we doing next? And VTech like, well, you just have to move to South Australia.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, what South Australia? He goes like, Adelaide? And I haven't traveled that far. Mm-hmm. So everybody told me Adelaide's like a old city of
country
old people.
Town.
Yeah, it is like a, you know, like that's where Australians move to die.
Well, I've never been to Adelaide.
I was so scared. And Kasia says, I believe in you. So I printed a couple of CVs and I had my CV on PDF on a memory stick. She buys me a ticket for 1 week to Adelaide and I just go there. I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
So I go there and just listed all these different clinics and they have like streets. They like all of the physios and osteos and chiros would be on one street next to each other. So I walk up and down the street with my CV with a big smile on my face, looking energetic, looking fit. Everybody I walk in, people want to give me a job.
Wow.
But they want to give me a couple of hours a week. I'm like, no. I need you to sponsor me full time for the next 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And possibly even pay for the application, possibly pay for the application for the sponsorship, which is at the time like $8,000.
Oh, wow.
Nobody wanted
that.
Not
looking good.
Not looking good. So I ran out of the CV. So I was sitting in some shitty motel and just sending emails. And this one lady, Dr. Andrea Robertson, replied to me. And this is Sunday. So she replied to me on Saturday. She says, I'm running Pilates class. So I'm going to be on Sunday. I'm going to be around the clinic. I can see you for a minute, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I grabbed my bags and I was already pretty much on the way to the airport. I had to check out of the motel. The flight is in the afternoon. So I'm just swinging by this osteopathy clinic. And she was just waiting for me. And she said, do you know Natalie? I forgot Natalie's name. And I'm like, yeah, I work with Natalie in the osteo clinic in Bondi Junction.
Wow.
She's an osteo. Mm-hmm. And she goes like, yeah, she was my bestie when we did osteopathy course. And I'm like, okay. So she said, I've spoken to her. And I'm like, what did she say? She said, you're a good asset. You're a good, hardworking, honest, you know, polished dude. And you'd be a good value. And if I can, to give you a chance. And I'm like, are you going to? And she said, I'll think about it. I'll let you know. Mm. So I got on the plane. When I got off the plane, I got an email from her saying yes. And so Akasha picked me up from the airport. We both cried because... Oh. Like, I didn't believe in myself because she's like, I knew you could do this. And within 1 week, in a strange place, in a strange state, I found this sponsorship. And I just said to Kasia, look, I have to move there in 2 weeks now. She goes, okay. So we ended up going there for a road trip with Kasia. I went back to Sydney, but I was getting this sponsorship, which was like, I don't know, $600 a week, you know. Mm. And while in Sydney, not that we could make that in a day, but it was much easier to make money. Yeah. So Kasia stayed in Sydney for a couple of months. She took over my clients, her clients. So she was working really hard mm-hmm. for the money while I was in South Australia working really hard for the papers.
Yes.
And, you know, every other weekend we'd visit each other for a couple of months. At some stage, we're just like, no, let's just move to Adelaide. And we loved Adelaide. Adelaide was quiet. It was beautiful. We fell in love with Adelaide.
Why Adelaide? Why did they make you move there?
I was just on the list of these different jobs. They have not enough therapists in Adelaide. They have not enough accountants in Northern Territories. They don't have enough hairdressers in Western Australia. And it's just like the jigsaw puzzle you have to solve. What skills do I have? Where do they fit in?
Yeah, right.
So Kasia moves to Adelaide with me. Little did we know at the time, I've already done 1 year. I got the sponsorship and I put the papers for PR. And pretty much the day she's moving to Adelaide, the PR is approved.
Wow.
And we're like, oh my God, we didn't even have to move. We could just move back to Sydney because now I've got a PR. But we were like, well, you know, things happen for a reason. And Vitek advised me, said, look, even if you're on your PR, it can take it away from you. So why don't you just stay for another year in Australia? Mm. Sorry, in South Australia, because after 1 year, you can apply for citizenship. Once you have a citizenship, you can do whatever you want. So we are in South Australia and Kasia's having an amazing football career there. She started playing American football, working there. I'm working. Everything is going well. And then I get a phone call from Poland that my father is sick. Mm. I mean, I knew my father is sick. He had a skin cancer, but the way he spoke to me, it was like, look, just a moment, no problem. My cousin calls me, says, look, yeah, I don't think he's got many more months to live. You better show up.
Wow.
I'm like, my parents didn't tell me any of that. So I get on plane and I go to Poland and I'm going to be in Poland for a couple of months. And Kasia is just thinking, I don't want to be in Adelaide by myself. Like, I kind of have some friends here, but like, you know, we've been in Sydney and Bondi for 10 years. Like, everything we know is there. So we moved back, but we didn't want to live in Bondi because it was already expensive and crowded. We moved to Maroubra. Mm-hmm. And so she lived in Maroubra. And when I came back, I started looking for work. And again, with my skills and everything, everywhere I applied, they wanted me to work. I found this work. There's another like a kind of funny story. I found this work in North Sydney with another chiropractor. Mm-hmm. I was doing massages. He was doing chiro. But also my other friend, Stevie, owned this Revive studio in Waterloo, and she was traveling a lot. And every time she would go away, she's like, look, I can just leave you keys and you just massage people, keep the money, pay me some. But like, I just want this place to be kind of open.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, no worries. So, but she kept traveling more and more. And eventually she got tired of just like traveling and running the business. Said to me, look, do you just want to buy the place? Mm-hmm. I never thought of owning my own place. I really very much enjoy working for other people, getting paid, shutting the door behind me and just having a weekend for myself. And so I'm like, I'll talk to Kasia, you know. And I thought, yeah, well, I guess all of the pieces of the puzzle went in. And now we've got the citizenship. Now we're adults. I guess it's time to own a business. And so we put a moves in motion to buy the business. And then the other guy from North Sydney says, you got to come here. I have to talk to you. I'm thinking, oh, my God.
What have I
Is
done?
Is he going to fire me or something, you know? So I go there and we're having a sit down. And he goes, look, you had a really good response from all of my clients. And I would actually wanted to bring you on board as a bit of a partner. Mm-hmm. I want to pay you more per hour, more percentages. And I want you to run the whole massage part of the business, like to grow it and develop even more. Like I want you to take care of it like a... I'm like, oh.
A second business.
I'm like, that's just so cool. There's one problem. I've literally just bought my own business.
Mm.
And he goes, so I parted with him. And, you know, next day I took over keys from Stevie N and, yeah, just opened the door from Revive and sat down. And I'm like, okay, I know how to massage, but I don't know anything about running business.
Yeah.
How do I find these people? She gave me like a login to a website, a booking system. Oh, and she gave me a login to Instagram page.
Mm.
And I didn't have an Instagram back then. So that was the beginning. And I was like, okay, people, you've got the best massage therapist in here. How are you not coming to see me?
And here we are, yeah. So busy now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I was laughing before when you said that you were massaging men and then they were bringing their wives in. And I thought that's exactly what happened with Thomas going to see you. And then he's like, you've got to come to this place. The people are amazing and the therapists are incredible. So I feel like when you're good at what you do and when you bring that, then it should hopefully just expand by word of mouth. And it seems like that's what's happened. And a lot of hard work.
Word of mouth was, I do have to give credit to one more person that also helped us a lot with the business. Lauren Simpson, very influential fitness and everything else, a very, very nice, lovely lady. Because I didn't know who she was and I got this Instagram and there's this girl, she lives in Coogee and she squats 150 kilos and she does these fitness competitions. I'm like, she looks like she lives around the corner. So I just shoot her a message. Said, hi, Lauren. I've got a new business. I'm a therapist.
Wow.
I don't know if you have a massage therapist or you don't, but come and check us out.
Yeah.
And Lauren replies to me. Says, I've never had a massage in my life. I'll come and check you out. Around that time, she was probably already a million followers or something.
Mm.
And every time she'd come in, she'd just, you know, post something, whatever. And her following was just massive. I think within the next week, we had like 10 extra inquiries.
Wow.
All through the Instagram and we just saw the power of social media.
God.
So that was incredible. And then my wife, Kasia, kind of started following Lauren and she was impressed with Lauren. So then one day I was messaging her and I said, look, Lauren, like, I know you don't do these sort of things, but my wife's birthday is coming up and, you know, she loves all of your workouts, watching them. I was just wondering if you could do like for me, for her, it's like one-on-one, like a booty workout or something like that, you know? And Lauren said yes. And I don't know, like whatever that was, a few days later, they caught up. I think it was in the Titans at Coogee.
That's so nice.
And I think in the morning before they opened, I can't remember what it was, but basically they had a training together. And Lauren, you know, encouraged my wife to compete. She said, look, the competitions is so much fun. Training is fun. And my wife was like, okay, I'm going to compete.
And now she's about to do her second.
Yeah, so that was 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, she just came out of the American football season. So she played American football for a couple of years. So always staying fit. And I think it took her like 12, maybe 16 weeks to prepare. And she did what was at the time WBFF.
Mm-hmm.
She gets on the stage and we're just happy she's on the stage. And then she goes to win the 35 plus division.
Incredible.
First place. I think she came in second amongst all of these women. And she's 41 at the time.
So amazing.
You know, this girl's 18, 20 years old.
Yep,
and I'm
yep.
like, how's my wife not amongst them? Then she competed in IFBB as well. Mm-hmm. So she got, I think, second in Masters, third in Novice or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So she did two comps, 2 or 3 weeks apart. She got 3 different medals. And she was kind of hooked on it. So, yeah.
So incredible. What a journey. I feel like you go from being given a massage table and a phone to now having this business, working out with really influential, successful people, working on their bodies and, yeah, just improving people's lives through your work. So it's pretty incredible. Do you feel like you would ever go back to Poland or your life is here now?
I love going to Poland. I've been there a few weeks ago for holidays mm-hmm. in the peak of the summer. And in the peak of the summer, Poland is, especially Warsaw, is just one of the most beautiful places to visit, especially in Europe. But I'd never want to live there. Mm. Me and Kasia had so much fun. And we're like, oh my God, this feels like, you know, we could live here. Yeah. But we were there and we weren't working. Mm. So we didn't rub against everyday people are stressed or whatever. We were just going to nice places, doing nice touristy things. And then I remember that in winter, there's only 6 days of sun. You know, the sun comes up at 9 o'clock, sets at 3 p.m. And it's minus 20 at night.
No.
And I was like, no.
I'll be going back to my waves in Maroubra.
Yeah. Wow. So ideally, we'd like to go to Poland, you know, once every year for, I mean, ideally for 3 months.
For family.
To spend as much time with family as possible. I missed that opportunity to spend more time with my father because I was busy building my life here and I didn't realize how sick he was and how quickly he was going to pass away. So that's something I would feel sorry. But now I still have my mom, I still have my sister, I still have a lot of cousins and they have nieces and nephews. So hopefully we can grow not only the business part of our, sorry, the massage part of our business, but Kasia is building her skincare product that she's going to sell online. And I'm also thinking of helping people with scaling it up. And because of all the life experiences with building the business, with building relationship, with going through obstacles, I'd like to become potentially some type of a life coach and just help guide people through some of these things.
Let's talk about that. We'll change gears a bit. I think the origin story was so important though, because people don't realize like what might have been involved for you to get to this point and what it has taken just to build where you're at right now. It's amazing. So let's discuss what you've learned or some of your learnings through working with people's bodies. What do you think is the connection between the mind and the body and the spirit?
For most people, they don't have that connection at all. Mm. They're very disconnected. I mean, it's changing a lot, obviously, with the existence of, I guess, social media and podcasts and things like that. But very often, especially again in the beginning, before this boom of fitness, we've seen people completely disconnected from their bodies. They just assume that their body is this vehicle that's supposed to work and you don't have to do anything with it. You just wake up, you have it, it's going to work. And if something hurts or breaks down, you either take a pill, go to a doctor, have some type of surgery, or even come for a massage. And like, I just booked in half an hour because I just have a sore neck.
Yeah, it's not enough.
So people's expectations of what can happen within, I don't know, half an hour, 60-minute massage was very distorted. People's expectations, what can happen through bad posture, through chronic stress, were distorted, basically. So we first started massaging. Now we add a lot of education to all of that and bigger part of our work. I mean, it's a combination of the both, but we talk a lot, educate a lot, show charts, show diagrams, show just helping people realize that there is a strong connection. There's the importance of all of these different things. And why is it important? How is it important? How can it change? How can you change as well? There's a bigger part of our education as well now that we do homework, give homework to people. Mm-hmm. I gave you homework. Yeah. Basically, we started to realizing that people have to be responsible for their own health and helping people realize the same thing. Like, you are responsible for your health and your body. Mm. I'm here to help you, to facilitate, to give you advice, but I'm not there at home with you. I'm not there in the office with you. I'm not your parent. The ball is your court. You can ask me questions. You can come. I can do the treatment, but the ball is in your court.
A quick break from the episode to speak about our reviews. Now, Life Chats has recently hit over 30,000 listens, which is honestly incredible. So exciting. But we only have 18 reviews on Apple Podcasts, which is a bit sad. So it would mean the world if you could just take 1 minute out of your day to leave a written review for us, either on Apple or Spotify. There is truly so much time and care and effort that goes into these episodes. I research, edit, host, distribute, do everything all by myself. And I don't make any money from this show. I do it because the stories deserve to be heard and I truly love it. So if you could do that review, that would mean the world. You can also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Life Chats Podcast if you don't already. The goal is to build a bigger community so I can continue producing these inspiring conversations. Thanks so much for being here. Back to the episode. Why do you think that so many people that you're seeing are disconnected from their bodies?
I don't think the kind of education exists in Australia or anywhere else, really. I mean, pollen, it exists. Well, it existed on the deeper level when I was growing up. I don't think that happens in Polish schools anymore. But we had biology from a very early classes. And then obviously I went through 5 years of studying biology, anatomy, chemistry, all of that sort of stuff. So things that are obvious for some are not so obvious for others and vice versa. So when Kasia talks to people and they don't understand, she's like, how do you not understand it? I'm like, Kasia, this is 25 years
You're
of our
expert.
Life.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Do you think that there is a relationship? This is not something we've ever discussed, but I'm wondering if when you're studying and learning, do you also learn about the energy of the body? Like, you're not just learning about the physical mechanics of how the body works, because I imagine people would come in and, like, even just from my own experience, you've got parts of your body that probably trauma's stored in or that you just are really resistant to working on. Do you have any sort of understanding when you're studying about that, or is that developed when you just start to work on people? You realize that everyone's holding different sort of traumas and experiences.
None of that was taught in Poland. The Polish educational system at the time was very strict, rigid, scientific. So there was never any mentioning of that. Plus, I think maybe because it was a religious country, you wouldn't talk about spirits and energies, you know, you stick to religion or bones and muscles. Then we came here and there's definitely, I mean, in my one of my first courses that I've done in an educate college in North Sydney was energetic healing.
Right.
But there I am, you know, I was 25 at the time, shaved head, you know, muscle up, and I'm sitting around the room with these, you know, in their 50s ladies and they talk about all these woo-woo stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, I picked the subject so it was easy, you know. But then I had experiences with these ladies and they would put a hand on me and I could feel the things. And I did a Reiki course and I went home one day and Kasia was in pain or something. And I put hands on her and she fainted.
Wow.
She felt like there was, I had the experiences. And when you have experiences, you don't need to believe anymore. It's not faith anymore. You've experienced these sort of things. So, and also we just experience this at work and people come in and you just feel the energy from them. You just feel that something is off or they have a good energy or...
Are they aware of that? Are people aware that they're carrying this energy center or someone walks in the room and you feel it and you think they have no idea?
No, people have no idea. Most of the people have no idea how... Those that are like really wound up and hurt, they don't know it. They, I don't know, they just have these layers of undescribed shells and protections
tension.
And they don't know it.
How do you approach someone like that? So you have got someone that's come in that's extremely wound up, extremely tight and tense in their body, maybe has never had a massage before, doesn't understand energy, doesn't understand the body. It seems like that's such a big project to get that person from feeling that way to feeling empowered and connected and in control of their body. Is your role just to provide relief or to work on a specific injury? Like, how do you approach someone like that?
You work different with different clients and I take control of the treatment. I'm the therapist, but I need to meet them when they're ready to it. So you could, I guess, compare it to like a personal trainer. Dependingly where the person is when they come and their goals are, you are honest with them. Said, look, you're probably never going to squat 150 kilos, you know, but you can be more toned, a little fitter. So when somebody comes like that and they never had a massage, first thing I have to do is educate them what massage is, what it does, what it cannot do for them. What are the expectations? You know, I just want a better posture. I'm like, massage can help, but it's not like you're going to walk out of here feeling like
that's
that. You know, that's going to take, you know, next
time.
Half a year and a half, depending on who you are. If you had a bad posture for 25, 30 years, that's just going to take forever. And that's going to take 6 hours a week of your work plus 1 hour of my work. So 1 hour every day. But when people never had a massage, sometimes we just need to put a hand on them and touch them. So first thing I do is like desensitizing them. Because if I start massaging them hard, they will just close, shrug, stress. So sometimes you do like the most relaxing, delicate techniques and ask them to breathe so they can get used to the environment. The same, we relax through the repetition. So you've done a few podcasts here today. When you walk into this room, you know everything about it. For me, this is all new. If I come here tomorrow, if I come here again, I'm going to be familiar with it.
Yes.
when you came to see me for a massage, you weren't as confident.
As stressed.
Yes. And, you know, you mentioned some things.
Yeah.
And I had to be very careful. I had to make sure that you feel safe and everything.
It's such a huge...
But now you're coming in and you'll be like, yeah, boom.
Let's go.
Yeah.
It is such a big duty to carry because you wouldn't know what you're dealing with when someone walks in. Like someone can come in completely traumatized and unless they tell you, you would have no idea. I guess it must take so much understanding of people's bodies and emotional state to figure that out as you go, unless someone's telling you, of course.
Well, that's this. And then there's people tell you what they want to tell you as
Yeah,
well.
Exactly.
They always want to...
People would, I imagine being in a room with someone for an hour, you would hear life stories and you'd hear all sorts of things, but you're only really getting that experience for that
it's
hour.
It's not the people that just there for the hour. The other people there for an hour for a couple of months, a couple of years.
I have
clients that I've seen for 18 years. So
wow.
Unfortunately, they know all of my stories as well as now I now know all of theirs. And it
That's
does
incredible.
Get, you know, intimate because you spend at least an hour and a half with somebody,
totally.
You know, and metaphorically, but physically, you're exposed, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're exposed. So you're like, I've got nothing
to hide. Yeah, you can't
hide.
I honestly feel that way in a massage. It's like, if there is a tense spot, you're going to find it and I can't hide it. I have to just be like, okay,
and
this
you have
is
to
hard
be honest.
For me.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is hard. I was always going to like relaxation massages because that's what I wanted to get out of it, but never really feeling like I had any tangible tips outside of that. Like I'd get stressed, I'd go book in for a relaxation massage. And then I just started having all these issues with my back and I was thinking, I don't even know where to start. Like I said to Thomas, I feel like no one can fix me. I don't even know what to do. And he's like, you've got to see magic. Now I feel like I've got a roadmap and I feel like I have the exercises that I need to do and I might not have the straightest back of all time, but I'll feel much better in myself knowing that I'm putting the work in and
so,
I can see progress.
Yeah, but you feel you have some control over it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally. Feel more empowered.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the massage is still relaxing, but it also feels like it is helping me unwind all this tension and fix issues that have probably been there for years or decades without me knowing. So the flick of the switch, I feel like, goes on and you think, oh my gosh, I'm actually in control of this and I can shape my body and become the best version of myself with the right guidance, of course.
Fantastic. That's exactly what
we're
trying to do. Yeah, get people to have that moment
empowered.
And be like, hold on, this is my body.
Yeah.
I'm responsible for it and I can change it. He can help me. She can help me.
Yeah,
they can all
totally.
Help me. But technically, as soon as you leave Revive, you're not my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
My responsibility is
whilst you're there.
Your partner, because he's next.
Exactly.
You know?
It's so interesting because I've spent years, I've honestly been in therapy for 6 years trying to make my mind more resilient and work on different things. And then I realized, I've said this to you the other day, I've done no body work. Like I've done all mental work, all learning, all therapy, reading, but no somatic body work. And now I'm like, oh God. No wonder I feel like I'm not seeing the results. I need to do this whole other side that I've just completely, I didn't realize existed. So it's exciting, but it's also challenging.
For most of us, it's a journey we'll come to a very similar place from different angles.
Yeah.
You know, again, like me and Kasia, we came to it from very physical approach. And a lot of the spiritual work and energy work happened to us when we were trying to get pregnant.
Mm.
And we started late because of the business, because of everything else. We started late, but we thought we're just so fit and healthy and really very healthy lifestyle. It's just going to happen. And it didn't happen naturally. So we went through the IVF and all along, everybody would tell you, my friend did such and such. My friend did, I don't know, coffee and enema. My other friend did ayahuasca. My third friend did this energetic healing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, long story short, over 5 years of going over 59 IVFs, we've tried everything. We've been on every diet, on a lack of diet. We've been fasting. We've been doing the ayahuascas. We've been to Poland to some bioenergetic healer that we had to drive for 6 hours one way to see him for a session and then drive 6 hours back home. We did not leave any stone unturned. Again, me and Kasia were very, you know, goal-focused, orientated. So if there's something that we can do, why wouldn't we do it?
Mm-hmm.
If it's just time and money, of course, we are dedicated to spend all the time and all the money to get pregnant. And that's where a lot of the energy, Kasia did these cacao ceremonies and meditations, and she went down the path of really going deep inside herself and maybe something that she wanted to talk to you. one day about, but that's where we really dig into that. So again, from the, you went from the energetic to somatic,
physical,
we went from physical to energy levels. And also want to say, like, with our work, when people come in with all sorts of different things, and I think part of our, I guess, success with helping people is the fact that we are trying to be the best version of ourselves, you know? We're trying not to take on the stresses. Mm. We're trying to come into work healthy, well-rested, relaxed. Mm. Because if you're going to come stressed to work and not stressed for a massage and I'm stressed, it just might not work. I want to get pissed off with you or, you know, or something, you know? If I'm having some argument with Kasia and all these other things are happening and I'm coming to work and I don't know, something else is going on, like, we have to make sure that we are in the best mood, the best versions of ourselves to be able to help others.
That must be so challenging, like what you were just reflecting on, 5 years of IVF. Obviously, you leave work at the end of the day and you've got a lot going on. You're like trying to figure out how to fall pregnant and you're dealing with all those emotions. How do you do that? Like, you come into work, you might be heartbroken, upset from news that you've received, and then you've got to be professional and massage someone for an hour and listen to them talk about their problems.
That was a very hard period in our life, and obviously much, much harder on Kasia. I didn't have to take, I don't know, even know, 1,000 different injections that she took. I think she still got a bag at home with all of the things that she took, and it was up to 4 different hormones a day.
Wow.
So I don't even know how we did it. You know, we had to, just before you started the work, shake, recenter, you know, focus. What really helps is that I think we're giving and caring people, and when you focus on somebody else, you kind of forget about yourself. So the more I'm focused on my work and trying to do the best work that I can, the less I'm actually stressed about my own life. And I think there was a period where we actually did a little bit of a workaholism, because it was actually easier to work hard than to sit home alone or even with each other and go over these things in our heads and discussions.
If we can speak a little bit about your IVF journey, I'm conscious that Kasia has to tell it in her own way, but just from your perspective on things, where are you at now? And when you look back on your 5-year journey, what are your emotions and your feelings about everything that went on?
A lot of people call it a roller coaster. I would not use that word, because roller coaster assumes there's highs and lows in IVF journey. I don't think we've seen any highs. It is just a deep, dark journey. Any news you have, you don't even treat it like a good news, because one of the first times we did IVF, Kasia got pregnant and we were scared to be happy about it. You're straight away even more stressed.
Mm.
And then 9 weeks later, ultrasound, no heartbeat.
I'm
back
so sorry.
To the drawing board, you know? So even the news you're supposed to be happy with make you even more stressed, make you even more worried, you know? And beautiful people around us, everybody's want to be supportive, but we were sick of hearing everything's happening for a reason.
Oh,
all these, you know, just these words that people say to help you, which is hurting us, you know. Oh, my friend did this, maybe you should did that, maybe you should. I'm like, didn't you think, and we thought of it, we've already tried all of it, but maybe you should drink more lemon juice, maybe you should do, because my friend had a coriander in the evening, or
my friend had 16 rounds of IVF and then she finally got pregnant. It's like, that's not what you want to hear.
So we had our last round, I believe it was November, December last year.
Mm-hmm.
That was number 15, and Kasia got pregnant. And 8-9 weeks later, ultrasound, no heartbeats. And we were just destroyed. We were just tired. Next few months, it was just a lot of pain, a lot of grief. And eventually, we finally just decided we're not going to do it again, at least not anytime soon. And we went for good holidays with friends to Bali. We kind of started having a bit of a social life, because
that's
again
good.
Because of the IVS, we didn't travel much, we didn't we always had to be around for the ultrasounds, for blood tests, for to pay, you know, $5,000 there, $10,000 there, you know, all these expenses. So our life was on hold for a couple of years, and then kind of we woke up one day and like, okay, well, I think this is the new chapter. This is the rest of our life. This is the time for our relationship revive, mm-hmm. we strengthen and grow, and for us to focus on other things. And this is where Kasia decided that she's gonna, I think she lost a decent amount of weight, of the hormonal weight, yeah, the swelling. Yeah. Yeah. There was about, I don't want to say, but it was, you know, a long period of time when she didn't smile, didn't laugh, didn't find anything funny. And I would try to play her stand-up comedies, comedy, TV, movies, something. And she just like, it's not funny. And now we laugh every day.
That's good.
Every day we just say like silly jokes, do silly things. Mm-hmm. She laughs all the time. Her prep is going great. She knows where she is, where she wants to be. She's motivated, organized. And I just love seeing her like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, right now we're in this process of acceptance of where we are, where we're going to be. Yeah. I'm focusing more on the, you know, growing the business. I mean, I'm growing myself, but that's...
that's another podcast.
That's just the calorie overload.
Stress eating.
yeah. But I'm focused on growing business, changing the business. We're adding new services. I'm rethinking, you know, the whole media marketing. Mm. I really want
to
learn.
Focus now.
Yeah. So we both focus on some other things while we still obviously staying, the most important is staying healthy. So we're in a very good place right now. And I'd love for us to continue on the journey that we are right now.
It sounds like it's something that you always obviously carry with you, that grief of not falling pregnant, but you have to also continue to move forward in your life and honor that and be able to process that in your own time and in your own relationship, but also allow yourself to grow and build what your other visions are as well. But yeah, I can't imagine how hard that must have been. I'm so sorry that it was 5 years of no good news whatsoever. It sounds very, very, very challenging.
Look, and it was, and again, I don't know how it happened, but we're still together. We've witnessed so many couples tried and unsuccessful, whilst unsuccessful, yeah, separate. A lot of couples do not survive
Why
IVF.
Why is that? It's just a stress.
Stress of it. If the guy really wants to have a kid, he can just go and find somebody who's 25 years old. He's 35, 45, even 50 with
Spence.
Business world and money.
Yeah.
He'll find somebody that is, you know, yeah, much younger and fertile. Or if it doesn't work, they just have a resentment towards each other. There's accusations, there is, you know, I don't know. Like,
did you actively in your relationship whilst you were navigating this, were you aware of like trying not to blame each other and trying to support each other? Or has that all come later after you've, because it sounds a bit like you're in survival, you're in fight or flight, you're just trying to get through the journey. You probably might not be as aware of like the impacts it's having on each other. It's just like, let's get through this. Now that you're a little bit on the other side, I guess, do you look back and think, oh, thank God we did that to help each other? How did you get
there? Me and Kasia would always communicate really well.
It's good.
We'd always just like, let's just talk about it. What's going on? Mm-hmm. Nothing. I'm like, Kasia, what's going on? Nothing. Kasia.
I'm tired.
Kasia, what's going on? Well, and we talk.
Yeah.
And the more we talk, the better everything happens. So, yeah, so we just always talked. Mm-hmm. And she would say to me, do you really want to have a kid? I'm like, no, I really want to have a child with you. I want your DNA and my DNA to be the baby. I don't want to just have a child. It's not like I love you so much. Just to see mini little Kasia, you know, running around, wrestling, you know, whatever. That's what I wanted, not just so... Yeah. You know, would you be angry? Would you be upset if we don't get pregnant? Would you be, you know, do you ever consider, you know, things like that? I'm like, no. Like, I love you. I want to be with you. And if we get there for a kid, that's amazing. But if we don't, like, we're still going to have an amazing life. And even if we don't have a kid, like, this is what we're going to do next. We're going to be not a parents, but, you know, like, we're going to step up to help others, either spreading this information or helping them to be better versions of themselves through the, you know, through the better bodies, better minds, through everything. But we're definitely on a like a life mission of helping and improving people's lives. So
amazing.
It just happened for a reason, you know.
And I feel like you two have been through so much by the sounds of things, not just the IVF journey, which would be make or break for so many people, but also just coming out from Poland, you having to move to South Australia, Kasia having to move to South Australia, and you going to Poland, like there's been so many parts of your journey that have just solidified your strength. So
it has, yeah.
I think it's really admirable and beautiful. And the first session I had with you, I could tell how much you just love and respect your wife. And I think that's an amazing quality to have. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
I just want to also, before we end, I want to talk a little bit about your perspective on health is really interesting. Something you said to me is I can't afford to buy cheap food. Tell me a bit more about that.
Yeah, I said it to one of my clients in the conversation and he's like, oh, you mean expensive food? I said, no, I said, me and Kasia, we just can't afford to buy this cheap food. You mean expensive food? I'm like, no, what I mean is I cannot afford to buy the cheap food, the cheapest food. We can only afford to buy the best quality, the healthiest food. Buying cheap food will cause you problems, diseases, inflammations, visits to the doctor, scans, tests, surgeries, and all of these different things that in the long run, and it will shorten your life by many years.
Yeah.
So if you want to be a healthy person, you can only afford the best quality, freshest products available to you that you can, you know, afford with money. And most of us can, but some people just don't understand. When you buy electricity, you know, when you buy electricity, you can call, I don't know, AGL Electricity in Australia, and these guys will have a kilowatt for 20 cents, the other guys for 60 cents. A kilowatt of electricity is the exact same kilowatt of electricity. However, the organic chicken and, I don't know, some hormone full-grown whatever chicken are not the same.
Exactly.
So that's where you have to draw the line.
Totally. And I think that it comes back to the education. Like you said, people aren't educated on the importance of these things and what it might look like for longevity or how it might affect your body over the long term. Plus, circumstantially, people might just not prioritize their health as being one of the main things they need to put money towards. Much like people don't prioritize meditating because they feel like they don't have time. Or you were saying the other day, you know, you put all the best petrol in your car, but then you won't buy good quality food or
Yes, that's an example. That's another example that I have to always tell to the guys. I said you would buy the expensive petrol so that you don't damage engine, and you would buy expensive oil for the car, but then you do that, and then you get into that car and you go around the corner and buy McDonald's through the drive-through,
and then you sell the car.
I'm like, you are the vehicle that's gonna last you, you know, 80, 90 years. And this vehicle you're going to sell in 5 years, you're going to forget about it. So don't worry about a petrol in a car. Buy the cheap one and you go and buy expensive food for yourself. You treat yourself like the beautiful vintage Mustang or whatever it is that you love. And, you know, you polish your body, you look after it, you make sure everything is running smoothly. Because again, with a healthy body, you'll have a healthy mind, you'll have energy. With energy, you'll have a good outlook on life, you have a strength, so you can work harder, have better relationship. Everything can improve if you're not feeling sick, if you're not feeling tired, if you're not feeling inflamed, if you're not feeling sluggish. And it's the upward spiral that, you know, good sleep gives you good appetite in the morning, gives you energy to exercise. Good exercise makes your testosterone higher. The testosterone allows you to make good decisions, grow your body, which allows you to fight stress better. If you have less stress, then you sleep better. And if you sleep, and so forth and so on. And you can obviously reverse it downwards when, if you don't sleep well, you wake up sluggish, you don't have testosterone, so you eat shit, you don't have time and energy to exercise, you're stressed at work because you don't have that focus, and then because of all of that, you sleep even worse. Yes.
You can choose to go either way.
Yeah,
wow. We'll wrap up shortly. I guess if anyone's listening to this, there'll be some people who are listening to this that might be feeling a bit stuck in their bodies or with their health. Like they just don't really know what the next step is for them. From everything you've learned on your own body and with other people's bodies, and say this was like a little life coaching session, where would you start? What's the sort of first piece of advice you'd give someone?
Just take out a piece of paper and write down two goals, mental, physical, and two obstacles that you think you have, and find somebody you can relate to and send it to me or somebody else and say, what do you think of that? A lot of people know what they don't want. Sometimes they don't know what they want, but put it on paper, look at it. What I want, what I don't want, a reality check. Who do I know that can help me, or who do I know that can point me in the right direction? If you can't figure that out on your own, then just ask for help. And until you ask, the answer is always no.
Totally. And also like YouTube and podcasts and all these amazing ways you can get that free information as well. If you have, like you were describing to me the other day, the way the diaphragm works. And I thought, how have I never learn about that. So I go to YouTube. I'm like looking up diagrams. How does the diaphragm work? Why does it affect my posture? How does it affect my ribs? All these things. So I feel like the information's out there. You've just got to be curious and, yeah, and want to go get it.
Be curious. And you will find different sources of information and you will relate to one of them. Not everybody will, you know, relate to what I'm saying the way I'm saying. Some people will find somebody else more relatable or the way they explain things. We're in a health and wellness sort of space. We will all have a convey similar message, just using different language, you know, different colors, different crayons, and be like, oh, I like how you draw this painting. I'm gonna get you to draw a painting of me looking nice and fit that way.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your life story as well. I feel like you probably don't get the opportunity to tell your clients about where you've come from and how you built Revive and your relationship and all these things, unless they become your friends, of course. But you're probably working every day on these people hearing about everyone else's life stories. And I thought you have an amazing life story that you need to share. So thank you for coming
on. Way, but now that you ask me all these questions, it does seem like we went through a lot with Kasia and it was an amazing journey, Ola.
You really have. I feel like I really admire something you said to me the other day. It's like, I don't even eat my breakfast unless my wife is ready. That level of like dedication and respect is really beautiful. So, and I was telling Thomas to wait for me to have his breakfast from now on. I end all the podcasts the same way. I ask every guest the same question. You can interpret it however you like and you can answer in as many or as little words as you want. But the question is, Matchik, what is the meaning of life?
It's very simple but very silly. The meaning and the purpose of life is for life itself to live itself through as many iterations of itself. So life is this energy that wants to live and live through many experiences, through all of us. Mm-hmm. Like we're a particle of life and we just all experience, life experience itself through
over
living itself. Yes, over and over.
Like through, we're two bits of life just experiencing itself.
Life
right
experience
now.
Itself as a weed of grass. Life experience itself as a fox, as a female, as a bad person, as a good person. That's life. It encompasses everything through all of the experiences.
Wow. I'll be left thinking about that one for a few hours. I'm going to need a counseling session and then I'll get into therapy next. What is life experiencing itself? No, thank you. I think that's
thank you very much.
And where can people find you? Where can people book you?
reviveaustralia.com.au is our website. We're operating under Revive Waterloo on Instagram. These are the main sources of, you can contact us through there and I'll reply to your DMs through Revive Waterloo.
And you can book a massage with Matchik. You can book a massage with Kasia. There's also other therapists there as well.
Yes.
There's Japanese face massage.
Yeah, so we just introduced a new service, Kobido. It's a Japanese face massage. We're very happy with it because it's just something new. And it's 75 minutes of massage of 43 facial muscles. So if you want to have a bit of a facelift without a Botox or
sign me up
or a knife, come and try it out.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. And I want to commend you. Doing a podcast is not easy. Sharing your life story with someone who you like barely know is not easy. And doing it in under an hour is really challenging and sharing from the heart. So thank you. You did really, really well.
Oh, wow.
And I can't wait to share the content.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see what it brings to people's life. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Please let me know who you'd love me to chat to next. Or if you have a story of your own you'd like to share, you can connect with me directly on Instagram at Life Chats Podcast, one word. Until next time, I'm Georgia May and this is Life Chats.